Welcome to Queued Up with Ziz and Pam, where we have powerful conversations and discussing what it means to be educated in the 21st century. So Pam, I don't know about you, but I got to tell you, when I think about my football career, if I didn't have a mentor helping me along the way, oh, it would have been more miserable than really what it was, just transitioning. So our topic today is about mentoring. Let's mentor up, everyone.
It's critical. And I think I wrote a blog about what now, about the need to break down the school wall silos and expose kids to what was happening in the real world. But it's also more than that, because I think mentors are able to be grandmas. They're able to be neighbors. They're able to be businesses. They're able to be teachers. I mean, a lot of the personalized learning programs, and this isn't the kids sitting with the computer with whatever. I mean, a lot of these programs are collaborative, working on projects together, but they're bringing their own gifts and their own interests to the project with the guidance of mentors that are pointing them in different directions, that are saying, hey, go, maybe you want to explore this.
So what popped in my mind as you said that is like, here's a formal mentor and here's an informal mentor. So the beauty of when we used to sit at home, oh my God, we are sitting at home having dinner and potentially if a grandparent were there, they could share their experience. So that intergenerational aspect of things gets shared. And that's sort of like history, right? They get to learn a little history at the table.
Yes. Oh. Yes. Actually, for me, the dinner table, that was sacred for us. We had dinner every night. And really, it was where we talked about everything. We talked about every possible conceivable subject, from abortion to race relationships to, you know, what happens when or if, and learning to model how we discuss these topics that each of us might have a different perspective on. And I think that was critical. So the dinner table is certainly a starting place for that mentoring, or people they met that inspired them, or whatever. But when they're spending so much time in structured activities with limited exposure to a wide variety of people, it is not helping them figure out how to operate in the 21st century, nor is it developing the skills they need to navigate the workplace of the 21st century.
Well, you just hit on it. I mean, modeling, that's so important, and especially for a young one, you know, the first 7 years of their life, they're a human recording machine. Yep. And that human recording machine is recording everything. And, you know, if you're talking in a positive manner or in a negative manner, no. It's amazing how many times people actually say no to a young one. I think they've actually, I don't even want to bring up the statistic on it because it's not good.
No.
But going back to what you just suggested was modeling. That's so important. So it gives us an opportunity to think about what we say, how we say it, and why it's important, because people are listening.
Well, I think we spend so much time focusing on our children as the change makers of tomorrow. We're going to shape the change makers of tomorrow. You can't change another human being. You can only model. We need to be the change makers. We need to model what it means to be engaged citizens. We need to model what it means to learn about, okay, wait a minute, we've helped create this mess. We keep turning it over to institutions and governments and organizations that are going to solve it for us. But no, the responsibility belongs with us. And really, we cannot teach values. They can only be learned by the child. I think that we have to really focus on ourselves, and it really is a relief. It's such a relief to not spend so much time trying to get another human being, and certainly anybody who's anybody realizes how little control we have over, you know, our spouse, our boyfriend, our girlfriend, our parents, our children, or whatever. You can't make people do anything. You might do a carrot and stick for a short time. It doesn't work unless they're intrinsically motivated. Okay, so let's just start there. But I think that we have to model and model what it means to be a change maker that hopefully inspires them to be a change maker.
Yeah, and that's a really, really good point. And I think I don't remember who the actual, I can't remember the actual quote, but you know, you be the change that you want to see in society.
Gandhi.
Gandhi. Yes, yeah. I gotta forget that.
Yeah. Be the change you want to see in the world. Well, it's true, except we say to our kids, go to these schools and they're going to help you learn. And we've turned over every aspect of education and feeding them and, you know, everything else to this school while we get on with our old lives. I mean, this is David Brooks' article, The Yes. Mistake of the Nuclear Family. Yes. You know, we ended up being these silos that aren't exposing kids to multi-generational relationships, multi-level experiences, explorations that we can all build and help develop the community. I mean, the idea of focusing on the flower and fixing the flower, you don't do that. You don't fix the flower, you fix the garden, you create the environment that allows the flower, whatever type of flower they are, to flourish. And that's, I think, where we need to shift our paradigm.
Yeah, I love that. Like, so in creating an environment, you know, it's interesting, like going back to football or going back to sports in general, especially when a younger generation, and like I think we talked about this a long and many, many episodes ago, we talked about how you played on the playground and the older students modeled leadership. They modeled communication. They did all those things. And as you got older and you stepped into that role, then all of a sudden what happened was there's a void because people aren't playing in a playground anymore because parents are setting up play dates. I remember hearing that concept for the first time. I was like, a play date? What's a play date? So that dates me, but it also points out why it's so important to allow the students to be involved. We set up the environment. Let them learn. And sometimes you'll learn that, yeah, that person wasn't very nice to me, but I'm not going to be mean back to them. I'm going to do it this way. And they realize like, wow, you know what? That hurt. And because life is not easy, life is hard. But if you have the right environment, you figure out how to struggle. You figure out how to grow. And that's what mentors are for.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why like Finland gets, I mean, just that the kids don't go to school till they're seven. And yeah. A lot of the any sort of pre-school program type of thing is play-based, yes. You know, and they collaborate in their communities where, you know, it doesn't have to be a formal structure. It's as if that you have to go to a classroom or a formal program in order to learn. Learning happens everywhere. Learning is not the same as education, is not the same as school. And school does not mean learning all the time, sometimes, but rarely.
Well, you know what, now that's a good point because I do think there's some confusion. So I think you and I definitely feel the same way, but let's just for our audience sake, you know, what is an education? You know, what is learning? Mm-hmm. So I'll speak on behalf of me in learning Zoom. Now I've been using Zoom for a while, but we had to learn that, which meant that I had to have some flexibility in how I approached it. So you have to have a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. Oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do it this way. And you might have to ask your child, hey, can you help me with this? You know, I call that reverse mentoring. That's how I learned Twitter. Only they did it so fast. I'm like, okay, slow down. Can you do that a little slower? And then finally I caught on, but allowing someone to teach, allowing someone to model something for you is also super beneficial because then they gain confidence because they're like, oh, wow, I do know this. I'm teaching so-and-so. I'm teaching my parent how to do mm-hmm. something.
Mm-hmm. No, I think mentorship is the future. And as a matter of fact, we're even moving that into the workplace now with apprenticeships. And we talked a few episodes back about the Navy. You know, the experiential learning and the support and the collaboration that comes along with that, but not the sage on the stage telling people what to do. Mentoring is a different concept. You know, mentoring is not. It's allowing the struggle. It's supporting the struggle. It's you know, being that guide and coach, but not in here's the way you should do it because this is how I've done it. We have spent so much time training to do a specific way that we've developed a standardized test so that their mind says there's always an answer. Okay, well, you know, we're seeing this with math. I mean, oh my gosh, we've missed data science is the biggest thing happening. And it's what most people use. We don't even teach it because math is actually creative. We're teaching outmoded stuff that is not able to be used because really math, Joe Bowler, I highly recommend people look at ucube.org. I'm going to be taking her class this summer, which is free, which is all about this shift in how we engage citizenship, because we have to know when people say we modeled this formula that says 100 million people are going to get this, we have to begin questioning, well, what was the basis of that model? We have to begin looking at statistical probabilities. We have to understand all of these things that are coming at us, and it's not an algebraic formula with a specific answer. So I think it's critical that we begin having the apprenticeships and the mentorships and the exposure to all these different types of learning out there.
So tell us about this course. So you said it's, what is it called again?
Yes, I actually posted it on Facebook and we will have it in our show notes, but she is actually, it's for educators, but it's also for parents and anybody interested in learning. She joined with the Freakonomics, I think it was Stephen Levitt is his name, to talk about really the future of math, how we teach it, what we need to teach, and how different it is from this finite answer. We keep showing kids, here's how you do it, that is not appropriate. We have to teach them how to think, not what to think. And so I think all of this is blowing up right now. And it's so cool to see all of these programs begin to help us understand and gain perspective on the 21st century and the skills we need and how different they are from the 20th century skills. You know, we still teach the rotary phone and we've got the cell phone.
Well, even, you know, when you think about being an entrepreneur, you think about change, you know, change is inevitable. Things are always changing despite that. And I know our minds, our subconscious mind wants us to be safe. So it's always trying to keep us safe and not get outside of our comfort zone. But we only learn when we get outside of our comfort zone. So it's so important to have a mentor who might be of a different culture, of a different race, of a different gender, different ages, and all because they're going to teach you something that you hadn't thought of before. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's what's exciting. Like I just went blank. There's a theory. Oh my gosh, Pam, I just went blank on what it's called.
Well, it makes me feel good. I do that all the time. Oh my gosh. But you know, I think this is that guide program that Tim Salau pulled together that was really about from all over the world where people say, hey, you know, I'm in such and such a country and I'm interested in, you know, filmmaking, or I'm in, you know, I'm interested in learning more about coding. And is there anybody out there that can help me? And all those mentors and mentees that are on this forum that can begin to share knowledge and just recognizing how, as we navigate uncertainty, which by the way, I was reading a futurist's talk to parents. And, you know, he was asked, what advice do you give parents? And he said, embrace uncertainty. Yeah. You know, this is why we keep feeding our kids to this education machine, is that we perceive it's giving certainty. And certainly now with this, we realize how off we have been because life doesn't have that.
Right.
And we just keep wanting to avoid, Viktor Frankl called it the tragic triad. You know, guilt, suffering, and death. We don't want our kids to get any of it. So we're going to put them in a bubble that protects them from it. And it's not possible. It's a part of the human condition to experience these things. So.
Yeah, because that's how you get better. You get better through struggle.
Right. But you don't have control over that. Life is going to happen. I mean, this whole positivity stuff of you always got to be happy. And then a pandemic happens. And we all struggle because that is life. How do we teach our kids to embrace the uncertainty, the periods of struggle, that their worthiness is not dependent on outcomes. Their worthiness is dependent on them answering the calls to life and the, how valuable and irreplaceable they are. So imagine if that shift took place.
Well, and you know, so Tom Bilyeu, who has Impact Theory, who interviews a ton of people who are entrepreneurial and from every different type of background, was just talking about fulfillment. And he said, that's the key. The key is fulfillment. So it just, it's making me think mentorship isn't just a person. It's also a book. It's also an article. So, you know, just recently I was listening to a commencement address. What's been really cool is to see that there are individuals who are doing commencement addresses because 2020, the class of 2020, has not been able to actually have a formal commencement address. So this particular commencement address, David Brooks introduced the theory of maximum taste, which says each person's mind is defined by its upper limit, the best that it habitually consumes and is capable of consuming. Now, this is the first time I had heard of this particular theory, but I'm like, wow, this is awesome. So David Brooks goes on to say, essentially, a few years ago, he was teaching a class of 20 to 30 year olds and also his college class of younger students. And the 30 and 40 year olds, the older students, struggled at things. Their reading comprehension had gotten lower because they weren't pushing themselves to their maximum. And I was thinking about that. I was like, wow, when you really think about that Jim Rohn quote that basically said, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Now, there's a woman by the name of Catherine Chua. She added in, including yourself.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, like, when you think about that, so when you're not pushing yourself to learning and being around others who are doing things differently, you know.
Right, but I think the issue, though, is that we assume that the kids just need to learn and they're not pushing themselves, but the missing piece is it requires interest.
Yes.
So the two hallmarks of our education system are boredom and apathy. I mean, this is way back in the 60s, 40s, 50s, that we had this, the number one issue was apathy, okay? And it still is. Apathy is a lack of motivation. Why? Because it's a lack of interest. So I think we have to move out of thinking they're just not trying hard enough to absorb this material to shifting that to say, what is it that they want to embrace and allow them to follow their own pathway based on what they are called to do in life? And then you've got motivation. The reason they're not motivated and that we kill creativity is that we destroy their individuality and their gifts and their ability to share, and they just, boom, they're done. So
literally yesterday in a conversation with students, you know, one of the classrooms and one of the things that I've been doing during this pandemic is having conversations with students that literally popped up, and the student said, I'm just bored. Like, this is not fun. No. I said, okay, well, tell me what would be more interesting. Oh my God. Not only did she get excited in what she shared, the other students got excited. And I'm like, so that's exactly it.
Well, it is the boredom, but boredom is a good thing. Boredom is where you got to figure it out. I mean, my daughter came to me, the one that's the freshman 19-year-old. She's like, I'm bored. And I'm like, and ever since they were little and they hate this, I'm like, boredom's good. They're like, Mom, I hate when you say that. And I said, so what do you do with it? And I said, what would you do? Like, if you're in a room and you have nothing, what would you do? She goes, well, I kind of want to learn to sew. And I said, really? Never expressed this before. Yeah, I'm really kind of interested in fashion. And I'm like, oh, I said, well, you know, her grandmother has a sewing machine in the garage. I'm like, why don't you, you know, drive over to grandma's and pick up the sewing machine. And then I said, and then, you know, you get a pattern and, you know, you know, my mom happened to have extra fabric, and she's like, well, I don't want to use the pattern. I'm like, well, how do you sew without a pattern? And then I just thought, zip it, Pam, get out of here. And I am telling you, she's been on fire. She's been sewing stuff, learning all this, you know, making things. Her sister's been the model, and boom, boredom was gone. And so a couple of days later, I was like, so what are you doing? And she goes, oh my God, I just, it's so interesting. It's so fun. And I thought, never would she have explored that. Never. And what an opportunity. So that boredom is also the birthplace of ideas, because boredom means lack of interest.
Well, you asked a powerful question that led to discovery.
Yeah.
Which, so that's, so it's that communication piece, listening, asking, and then zipping it.
The zipping's the hardest part, if I can share that with everybody. The whole time I'm like, how do you do an outfit without a pattern? And I am telling you, she designed three without patterns. And I was, that are adorable. And I thought, okay, mom, you don't know a lot. And I mean, they weren't complicated. And, but she's, you know, was figuring it out, measuring and doing all these things. And I mean, you know, talk about using math. I mean, she just was really, she was figuring it out. And I was just in awe. And I thought, I'm so happy I did direct her. I'm, you know, and she's learning this old machine, because my mom's machine's like 25 years old, and she's having to find YouTube videos to show how to make the thing go backwards. And I'm laughing at this as she's, you know, struggling to figure it out. But she was so determined that she's, you know, she's like, gosh, there's not many places I can find out about this old machine. But she was finding enough that she could sew three outfits.
And so from that experience, confidence is gained.
Yes.
That's how you gain confidence. So when people talk about confidence, you can't gift someone your confidence. Confidence is only gained by going through something yourself and then realizing, wow, I can do this.
Well, and I think oftentimes parents are so desperate to connect with their kids. They'll be like, oh, I can help you. Let's do it together. And I think
science project,
hello, they actually do it for you. I mean, when you have to run to the store, I mean, that's actually why I pulled my kids from traditional schooling, because I was running to the store the night before they had to build this thing. And I'm buying the animals and the teepees and the whatever. And I'm like, why am I doing this? I mean, this, forget it, you know, why, you know, but they needed the materials. I didn't do hers. And then when she had hers on the desk, that was definitely a fourth grade project, and everybody else is perfect. I was just like, oh my gosh, I was so embarrassed for her. And I thought, oh my gosh, but she didn't matter to her. But I thought, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous how out of control we've gotten with that. But I think it's really to allow them without us desperately needing to be a part of everything they do and knowing everything that they do. And that might be an interesting segment to talk about too, is this issue of how much we need to be involved with our children.
It's funny you say that, because that's exactly what I was thinking. You know, the issue isn't necessarily our child or the students. Sometimes it's us overly being involved. And I think about my own parents. I mean, did they come to every sporting event? No, not at all. And then I just remember asking that question of some other people. I'm like, hey, did your dad or did your mom always go to a sporting event? They're like, no, not at all. You know, and you figured it out. I mean, so you developed those skills and the what you need to exist. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that is a good topic. You know, in regard to mentoring though, I do think, you know, as has been stated, it's generational. It can be a book, it can be an article, it can be so many different things, but what it does do is support and walk alongside of that student.
Yes, and exposes them to different things. I think the whole idea again is, think of our lives that we've ended up in silos. This pandemic in some ways has been cool in that it's been building this infrastructure we didn't have in our neighborhoods and our communities of connecting and checking in. And so we have a foundation now. But I think that the idea of breaking down the silos and allowing them the mentorship, either through, you know, going out and volunteering at an organization, you know, trying to find someone you can job shadow or go interview if you're interested, or getting a part-time job. I mean, really, I mean, the heroes, could you imagine if we didn't have the grocery clerks, you know, and before it was like, oh, whatever. That is a great place to have your kids start. My kids started, one is a hostess in a restaurant that was really popular. And she was like, oh my gosh, it was so hard. And I, because people would go, wait, where's my table? And she had to learn to deal with all of that. My other daughter was in a, one of those acai bowl shop and having to, you know, sweep the floor and clean the things out and really get a perspective on what it meant to start from the bottom and work your way up. Why not?
Yeah. And you learn a cross section of skills. I mean, that's what I love about, I'm not going to name the store, but there's a store that a lot of us know about and they cross train. They do everything. So when you're cross trained, so if you're a student, or a young college student or wherever you might be in life, and you have an opportunity to start at an ice cream parlor. I started at Friendly's, scooping ice cream. But then you learn, well, I could do marketing, or I could do this, I could do that. You learn so many different things that are involved in an actual business. So I love the fact, you know, entrepreneurship is definitely here. Mm-hmm. The innovation is definitely here. And I think now that fulfillment is coming from individuals who want to serve as mentors. So I think students need to say, hey, whether it's an informal or formal mentorship, you know, reach out and ask someone to be your mentor.
Well, and I think as adults, whether we're business owners, community leaders, what even just parents, we need to mentor up. We need to look at every child in our community as our child. We can no longer just say, is Johnny going to be successful? I mean, this has actually made him very unsuccessful and unhappy with so much attention. Let's broaden our horizons and have a responsibility to this next generation to empower them to solve the issues that in many ways we've exacerbated or created.
You know, I got to say this really quick. So Pam, it made me think of Lenore Skenazy and how she said, actually, our world is safer. And so when you said, yeah, we need to think about the children in our community, I'm like, Pam, I'm a permanent tan guy. I am not going over and talking to. Now, I'm being funny. I am being funny. But in all seriousness, I mean, parents have gotten to a point to where now they don't even know their neighbors up until this pandemic. They had no idea who lived next door. Now, that's not the neighborhood I lived in, but a lot of people had no idea because they didn't take the time to get to know them because of whatever. But our world is safer. So stop watching the news.
Well, it's because of 24-hour news that we decided. Yeah. It was like, if something happens in Kansas, it's in our living room. And we're like, oh my gosh, my kid. I mean, we are, there's a great book, I can't remember it, I'll put it on the website, that was just about that, which is how crazy it is that we are in so many ways safer, but we're more fearful.
Definitely.
And that bubble wrap, which we'll address in the next segment, what that has done to the mental health and well-being and empowerment of kids.
Yeah, so thank you everyone for joining us as we talked about mentoring up, hashtag mentor up.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us, where we have powerful conversations as to what it means to be educated in the 21st century. Thank you, Pam, as always. Great.
Thank you. It's fun.
Thank you.